Wednesday, December the 1st, I spent all morning autographing pictures for Christmas, making phone calls about the business at hand. The high point of the day was lunch with the man who may be the architect for the Lyndon Johnson Library, Gordon Bunshaft. Max Brooks and Roy Heath brought him out about 1 o'clock, accompanied by Bill Heath, who has faithfully followed this through from the first flicker of a thought. And if it becomes a reality, much of it will be thanks to him. We lunched rather well with Lyndon, and then he said, "Let's ride around," never quite knowing whether a ride will be 10 minutes or 4 hours. We all piled in the Jeep and went to survey the dance and the Martin, the clearing, the seating, the building, and of course to see the new prefab house. There were evidences of building everywhere we looked, and painting and rock work. At the prefab house, Lyndon ordered 2 more windows put in on the west side of the 2 bedrooms. I was glad, although it may pose some problem for the beds. And then there was a brief stop back at the ranch, and once more he set out with us. This time we went to the old fort in Johnson City, talked about restoring them, and stopped in front of the log house. I felt I could see Bunshaft getting interested and also more amazed by the moment. We talked of making a park of it, of how the street would enter from the boyhood home. And then we went to the bank and upstairs, and by now it was dark. We went from room to room by flashlight, with Lyndon asking Roy, Max, and Bunshaft for solutions to problems, advice, suggestions, and sending word meanwhile to Warwick that it had to be done in the next couple of weeks. All in all, it was an hilarious afternoon. The President of the United States spending such a long time on detailed inspection of projects, some of such utter triviality, some of real import for the future, and asking the advice of this renowned architect on all of them with complete unselfconsciousness and equal interest. As we left, I said to Bunshaft and Roy and Max, "Some people bet on racehorses, and some people buy jewelry. We build." Then we went to the boyhood home. Jesse welcomed us into the little parlor and brought us coffee and scotch, the latter more popular. And we spent a jewel of an hour with Lyndon reminiscing about his life there, about what he hoped for the library and the School of Public Service at the university. It was apparent that he was more interested in the School of Public Service than in the library. He has a rare ability to inspire enthusiasm, to draw forth from the people whom he's dealing with, a desire to put their shoulder to the wheel and make it just as good as he thinks it can be. I remember he said, I'm a complete accident. Most of the boys and girls that grow up here have to struggle for an education, and the scarcity of the opportunities means that their lives are restricted and dulled. But if there's any of them here that have got the brains to go far, that's what I want this School of Public Service to do, to give them that opportunity, to put young people from this part of the world into the bloodstream of American thought and real doing. I need to appoint somebody to a board, a big administrative job, a cabinet job. Where do I find a man that's qualified? He's very likely to come from some eastern seaboard school, like Harvard or Yale, maybe from Michigan, maybe from California. But that means that whole vast sections of our country don't furnish what they ought to in brains and character into the public life. This was essentially what he said, though much better, more pungently. I wished, as I often had, that we had a tape recorder going. Bill Heath, Max and Roy, I, and I think Bunshaft, felt an injection of determination to help make that School of Public Affairs all that it could be. And then after a while, he said, "Come on, let's go home and eat dinner. You won't drive back to Austin until too late after dinner time." So back we went to the ranch, a warm fire, dinner, and then Mr. Bunshaft left, I think, impressed and inspired and probably wanting out. Not everything has come to a halt in our absence at the White House. The recorded message we'd worked on, giving a short history of the Executive Mansion and a bit of description of each room, is completed, and visitors on tour heard it for the first time. Small things indeed. The information kiosk, the water fountain, a few benches to rest on. Now this recorded message, and soon, I hope, the bronze plaque describing the President's Park, all the memorial trees
planted by
presidents. The first one of record was John Quincy Adams, who planted the majestic American elm in 1826 on one of Thomas Jefferson's mounds in the South Lawn. Small things all, but I think they'll add up to more enjoyment for all the tourists coming to the White House. And praise the Lord, Lucy has been giving away hamsters. Our hamster population is greatly reduced, and quite a few children and schools across the land are happier. The funny thing is that everything that little girl does turns to print, even hamsters. Far more oddly enough, the Lindbergh's going to Acapulco to have dates with a handsome movie actor.